Welcome back to another episode of Faith on the Go podcast. This episode is from June 22nd, 2025, the second Sunday after Pentecost. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy.
Our first reading comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 65. The prophet announces God's impatience, the people's self-absorption as idolatry, and images of practices that displease God fill this reading. Like a vintner who crushes the grapes to release the wine, God will use Israel's exile to establish a new community of the faithful. We read, I was ready to be sought out by those who did not ask, to be found by those who did not seek me. I said, here I am, to a nation that did not call my name. I held out my hands all day long to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good, following their own devices, a people who provoke me to my face continually, sacrificing in gardens and offering incense on bricks, who sit inside tombs and spend the night in secret places, who eat the flesh of pigs and broth of abominable things in their vessels, who say, keep it to yourself. Do not come near me, for I am too holy for you. These are a smoke in my nostrils, a fire that burns all day long. See, it is written before me, I will not keep silent, but I will repay. I will indeed repay into their laps their iniquities and their ancestors' iniquities together, says the Lord. Because they offered incense on the mountains and reviled me on the hills, I will measure into their laps full payment for their actions. Thus says the Lord, as the wine is found in the cluster, and they say, do not destroy it, for there is a blessing in it. So I will do my servant's sake and not destroy them all. I will bring forth descendants from Jacob and from Judea, inheritors of my mountains. My chosen shall inherit it, and my servants shall settle there. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading comes from Galatians chapter 3. For Paul, baptism is a powerful bond that unites people, not only with God, but with other believers. Those who call themselves children of God experience a transformation that removes prejudices of race, social class, or gender in favor of true unity in Christ. We read, now before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law, under faith, until faith would be revealed. Therefore, the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be reckoned as righteous by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian, for in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek, there is no longer slave or free, there is no longer male or female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to their promise. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 8th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Then Jesus and his disciples arrived in the region of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. As he stepped out on shore, a man from the city who had demons met him. For a long time, he had not worn any clothes, and he did not live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, shouting, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the wilds. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion." For many demons had entered him. They begged him not to order them to go back into the abyss. Now there on the hillside, a large herd of swine was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd stampeded down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the swineherds saw what had happened, they ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then people came out to see what had happened. And when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they became frightened. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. Then the whole throng of people of the surrounding region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Please pray with me. God, we give you thanks for the gift of another day and for the opportunity to gather together this day around your word of life that you share into our circumstances, into the places we find ourselves, into our fears. You gather us in community. You form a new creation and invite us to share it. Open us to that power. Cast out our fear, that we may reflect your love for the whole world. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Let the church say, Amen. I wanted to reflect on a line from the gospel reading as Jesus addresses the man and addresses the spirit that's with him, and Jesus asked him, "What is your name? What is your name?" And I'd like to begin with a question for you. What keeps you from facing your fears? What keeps you from facing your fears? Today's gospel reading suggests powers at work, individually and collectively, with the ability to captivate, paralyze, coerce, and control. While attention may turn instinctively to the man who was helped by Jesus in the gospel reading, there was another collective expression of fear at work in the community's response. When they saw this person, whom they knew only through his suffering, suddenly clothed and in his right mind, the narrative reveals a surprising response. They were afraid. They were afraid. The comfort of familiarity can override the possibility of healing and newness. And entire communities can be held captive by unnamed forces preventing any change. Even the most proactive and courageous among us aren't immune from such collective fears. Jesus' authority to command even legions of unclean spirits in an individual didn't carry the same influence when confronted with the fear of an entire community. And he left, as they requested, although not before instructing the man who was healed to tell others about what God had done for him. What collective fears prevent us from embracing the newness and the healing that God would provide. What barriers do we erect to Jesus' authority over those forces that would otherwise control us? And how might Jesus' example of naming what we otherwise wouldn't talk about open new possibilities for us? I was intrigued by the passage immediately preceding today's first lesson from the prophet Isaiah. Chapter 64 of Isaiah is an impassioned pleading with God to come once again act, to come down from heaven and once again act as in the good old days. I don't know if any of you have ever prayed to God for that. God, why don't you act like you used to, you know, or like back in the days of old? And that's even in the Old Testament, actually, that people would talk about the good old days. And why won't God come down and just act again with a compelling display of power to address the community's problems and just make things right? And then we get today's reading. And God responds to that request by essentially saying, I'm already here, and you're not paying any attention. I'm here, I'm ready. In fact, God objects that people are taking matters into their own hands and turning to offensive practices that further separate them from God and from their neighbor. Sometimes awareness of our problems and the desire to fix them doesn't necessarily lead to renewed trust in God's providence and care. If anything, sometimes our efforts can take us even further from God's vision of a world restored by love, a vision we might even dismiss as kind of wimpy and pathetic in the face of the more pressing issues that we're up against, that we just need to get to work with and fix. And yet, our biggest problems usually aren't solved by greater force. Genuine transformation requires seeing in a new way, a way that God is eager to share. Today's second reading explored the Apostle Paul's thoughts about what helps us to mature and to grow in God's way, but then went on to testify that ultimately this is a gift that's received only by faith. He depicted the law given through Moses as a disciplinarian, or another word might be a schoolmaster, a word used in the ancient world for the tutors that were appointed by families to mentor and to guide their children until they were old enough to think for themselves and to assume responsibilities. The law, in Paul's view, fills a similar role, preparing us for this identity that is realized only through faith, that you are a child of God. You are a child of God. This identity has some surprising implications for you and me and for our world. In a world that is defined, and as individuals that often get defined by fears, by efforts to find advantage and to maintain control, here you are set free to participate in a new creation. Like the person helped by Jesus, you are clothed and restored to a right mind. Paul wrote, "As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." And this relationship is not antagonistic, nor is it the sole domain of individuals who have the answer at the expense of somebody else. This is a new reality, a new world that we are invited to behold together. And this has always been a radical message, but heard against kind of the current events of our world, today's aggressive provocations around categories of race and gender and nationality and class and so many other things that would define us, Paul's words are stunning. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. Today's psalm that we read is an excerpt of Psalm 22, which was quoted by Jesus from the cross with its opening words that weren't included in today's reading. My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Liturgically, this psalm, the entire psalm, is read during Holy Week at the conclusion of Maundy-Thursday services as the altar is stripped and the congregation reflects hearing these words on Jesus' arrest and humiliation. And yet, it includes today's testimony of God's power to save. Power realized in hearing the cries of those relegated to the margins of society, those who have the least resources and little power to change their circumstances. For the Lord does not despise nor abhor the poor in their poverty, the psalmist wrote. Neither is the Lord's face hidden from them, but when they cry out, the Lord hears them. This new creation that you share through faith is shaped by that testimony of all who have experienced the liberating power of God's love, of discovering a way where there is no other way, where there all the options are bad ones, casting out your fears, walking alongside you, lifting you up, clothing you in Christ, and in a right mind, beckoning you and inviting you to experience a new creation as a child of God. Amen.